What kind of business are you building? For example, if you're building a legacy business, what it means is that you need to start introducing your kids to your business early on, from a very young age. I met a man recently, he's close to retirement, and that's his biggest regret. His kids are not interested in his business. And why should they be interested in his business? You know, these kids have already chosen their own path. Maybe they want to be musicians, they want to be programmers, they want to be actors, you know? They've already chosen their path. So what it means is that you're coming very late. And at that point, they're not interested in your business.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode is about a very small but important, very important issue that I see entrepreneurs and business owners face when it comes to making very critical decisions in their business. It could be what kind of funding should I raise for my business? It could be, should I bring on a business partner? You know, these are very important decisions that if you make a mistake, it could haunt your business for a very long time. And I say this because I was recently in a forum with business owners, and the issue more or less was about raising money. And I got to the point where, you know, you have an opportunity to raise money. Maybe it's a bank loan. Maybe it's somebody who wants to invest equity in your business. And you get to that point where you're about to sign that agreement. You're about to sign that contract. And you're asking yourself, should I be doing this? So sometimes it's not about the interest rate. It's not about the equity stake. It's not about how much money you want to raise. Sometimes there's a deeper consideration you need to make within you before you can touch that money. So at the end of the day, within that forum, it was very clear. I asked a very simple question. What kind of money is best for your business? Is it equity, where somebody gives you money in exchange for a stake of your business? Or is it debt, where you get money as a loan, either from a bank, from an individual, from a company, in exchange for interest and paying back that money? Or is it just best to keep trying to grow your business with freebie funding from donations, prize awards, and all of that? So after I asked that question and I went round the room, some people said equity is best. Some people said debt is best. Some of them said any of them will do. And it was obvious because I told them, many of you here have the exact same kind of business and you still don't agree on the best kind of funding to raise. That's why it depends. It depends on your personal situation. It depends on your preferences. It depends on the kind of business you want to build. And that is exactly what this episode is about. The kind of business you want to build would affect many of the decisions you're going to make. I'm going to say that again. The kind of business you want to build would affect most of the major decisions you're going to make. So in this episode, I expect it's going to be a short episode, but I want it to be something you refer to from time to time as we head into the future. And I want to talk broadly about the major kinds of businesses that people run. And it's very likely you run, or you're trying to run, or you're trying to build one of the kinds of businesses I'm about to explain. And as I explain them, I'll let you understand what the implications are if you intend to run any specific kind of business. Now, the first kind of business is a lifestyle business. And I must give credit to Vusi Tembokwayo. He's a South African venture capitalist. And I've been thinking roughly about this concept, but I think there's one of his talks I listened to, and that's really the one that's helped to crystallize the concept for me. So the first kind of business is a lifestyle business. That's what most people start with. A lifestyle business is just a business you want for the purpose of cash flow. You just want money from that business to support you, to help you pay your bills. When most people start a business, they're thinking of a lifestyle business. I just want a business on the side to support my day job. That's for those people who want to keep their main job and then have businesses on the side. So what that means is that they have additional streams of income. And then the money that comes in gives them much more financial security. So for a lifestyle business, the truth is, it's just about the money. That's exactly what that business is. It doesn't matter if it's a real estate business or you have a service business on the side or you do consulting on the side. A lifestyle business means that you're building that business just for cash flow. You just want something that would support you income-wise. So if it's just about the money, one thing is very clear. If it's just about the money, then can you take equity as a form of investment? And I would argue and I would say yes, because if it's just about the money, there's nothing wrong with owning 50% or 20% of something that brings in $1,000 or $1,500. So what it means is that you can pool resources with other people as long as the business is making money. So I find situations where somebody says that they don't want to take money from anybody. They don't want to take money from the outside. They want to do it on their own. That is a slower way, because the truth is, this business is just about the money. That's really what it's about. So anything you can do to increase the earning potential of that business is all fair game. You see, so you need to be able to separate the rational and logical side of the conversation you're having in your head from the emotional side. So many entrepreneurs want to own. There's this emotional attachment we have to our businesses. We want to own it 100%. And sometimes it may not make sense, because if you are building a business just for cash flow, just to make money, then that means two good heads will be better than one, three good heads, four good heads, as long as you're able to make more money coming. So later on in this episode, when I summarize all the four types of businesses I'm going to talk about, you're going to understand the distinction, how a lifestyle business is different from all the other kinds of businesses I'm going to talk about. The second kind of business is a legacy business. Now, a legacy business is the kind of business you want to hand over to the next generation, to your family, your children. Most likely going to be your children. So this is a business you're building for the long term. You want a business that is going to survive you. You want a business that your heirs and your children, the next generation, can take over from. So in this kind of business, you're not just thinking about cash flow. You're not just thinking about profits. You're thinking about growth. You're thinking about the long term. You're playing a long game. So there are decisions you're going to avoid, because they are just going to yield short-term benefits, but they may not pay you in the long term. That's one thing about legacy businesses. If you really watch it, people from the Eastern Hemisphere of the world prefer these kinds of businesses. In many parts of Africa, it's very common to notice that Indians prefer this kind of business. They prefer legacy businesses. It's very likely you see a business, the person who started it was the grandfather. The grandfather handed it over to the father, and now the grandson is the one running the business. Indians, Lebanese, people from the Middle East, they're always thinking in terms of legacy, legacy, legacy. Africans, there's also quite a considerable bunch of African businesses that are legacy businesses. But the problem we are seeing across Africa is that business success, it's quite difficult for business success to cross from one generation to the other. So when the founder of the business is running the business, it's quite known, very popular, the business is doing well. Then when the person passes on or retires and the business moves on to the next generation, what we see is that that business starts to crumble and falter and then eventually fails. So there's that issue of handing over the baton from the founding generation to the next generation to continue. So it all depends. If you want to build a legacy business, the way you make decisions, the choices you make, the kind of capital you raise, the kind of strategy you embark on is totally different from the other kinds of businesses I would explain in this episode. It's also very different from a lifestyle business. If you're building a business for the next generation, it's very likely you might make some sacrifices. Unlike a lifestyle business that I just explained, where you are building the business or you're engaging in a business just for cash flow. You just want to generate cash flow. Somebody who's building a legacy business might make sacrifices early on and forgo some money, forgo the cash flow, even if there's any cash flow coming in. Somebody who is thinking in terms of legacy is more likely to reinvest the money they are making from the business back into the business and then maybe not earn much, you know. So that sacrifice they're making is because they're running a marathon. They're playing a long game. So it's very important that you keep this in mind. Now, for example, to give you the implication of this, somebody who's running a legacy business might be hesitant to take on equity, because what equity does is that it brings in somebody who owns a share of your business. So what it means is, if you keep on bringing in people who own equity in the business, a time might come that you own less than 50% of that company. A time might come when the ownership of equity you have in the business might not be enough for you to make important strategic decisions. That is one. The second part is, when you have other equity holders on board, it might be difficult to transfer that business to the next generation, because your other business partners, other shareholders in the business may not want that. They may want the business to be sold so that they can exit and cash out. Maybe they don't want to move the business to the next generation. Or even if they're going to move the business to the next generation, whose legacy is it going to be? Is it going to be your legacy or their legacy? So it can lead to a lot of conflict. And it's usually very difficult to hand over a business that is owned by several people to the next generation. There's a lot of conflict that can come up with that. So what that means is, somebody who's building a legacy business already has one less option. It might be difficult for that person to consider equity investment as a type of funding. What that means is that somebody who is building a legacy business has to learn how to maximize the value of debt. Debt, by debt, I mean loans, whether they're taking a loan from the bank or from whoever. And that's because loans have a unique characteristic. Anybody who gives you a loan, especially, for example, a bank, the bank is not going to take a share of your company. The bank is not going to control the decisions you make. The bank is not going to, ask you not to hand over the business to the next generation, as long as you are meeting your obligations to the bank. So what I find is, most people who are building a legacy business, they love loans. And that's because loans give them the flexibility, the independence, the authority they need to own 100% of their business, or even a majority stake in their business, and grow their business. And of course, that's because a loan gives you the ability to use other people's money. So of course, as you know, banks hold money for many people. And what banks do is that they take that money they're holding and then they give it out to businesses, for example, as a loan. So what a loan means is that you can do business with other people's money, and those people don't need to have a share of your company. They don't need to own any part of your company. So that's one very clear thing you will notice. If you look at the Indian family businesses and most of all of that, even if they are going to take money, even if they are going to raise money, they are more likely to raise money from other members of the family if they need equity. But most of the time, they work a lot with debt. They borrow money from the outside because, like I said, borrowing money gives you the power, the leverage to use other people's money to grow your business. So that's it for legacy businesses. And don't forget, a legacy business means that you're building a business for the long term, so that when you retire or when you leave this world, you want the next generation to continue with the business and keep growing it from where you stopped. So far we've talked about two kinds of businesses. The first is a lifestyle business, which is a business you're building for income and for cash flow. The second type of business is a legacy business. It's a business you're building for the long term, and it's a business you intend to hand over to the next generation. Now, with the work that I do, if you're somebody who is thinking in terms of legacy, I'm hoping that as you keep listening to the Small Startup Business Podcast, you will learn some of the essential things you need to do, you know, to be able to build a successful legacy business. Because, for example, if you're building for legacy and you're following the strategy of somebody who is building a lifestyle business, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to crumble that business. You're going to void your legacy, because some of the decisions that a lifestyle business makes is for immediate reward, for short-term success. That kind of business may not understand the value of sacrifice. because the owner of the business just wants cash flow. But if you're building a legacy business, you're not the same thing. You may be selling the same product, you may be in the same industry, but you're not the same thing with the lifestyle business. And that's because you are building for the long term. And I can't find any comparison better than the difference between somebody who is running a 100 meter or 200 meter sprint and somebody else who is running a marathon that is beyond 15 kilometers. So the way you run, now if you see people who run, you know, people who engage in running sports and athletics, you see that they wear the same shoes. It may be Nike shoes or Adidas shoes. They wear the same sportswear, you know, all of that. But then they are running very different races. The way you run a 100 meter sprint is very different from the way you run a marathon. If you run a marathon the way you run a sprint, you are going to gas out. It's very clear. And if you run a sprint the way you run a marathon, you are not going to win. You're always going to come last. So you need to understand that even though you're running a race, the race you're running is totally different. Now, the third kind of business is a venture business. And interestingly, thankfully, we are starting to see some of these businesses come up across the African continent. Now, what a venture business means is that you are building a business as an asset because you want to sell that business. You want to sell that business. Likely you want to sell that business in the next 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, or whenever. But the bottom line is that you are starting this business and you want to grow it into something valuable that you can sell to somebody and then make a lot of money and maybe retire or move on to another kind of business. We're beginning to see a lot of this happen within the tech space. So for example, in December last year, December 2020, a Nigerian startup, Paystack, was acquired by a big American financial services player, by Stripe. Paystack was acquired by Stripe for $200 million. So it's a Nigerian company founded by Nigerian entrepreneurs. The two of them are below 30 years old. Now, what is interesting about this is Paystack was acquired for $200 million, but Paystack, at the time it was acquired, was a four-year-old company. So these two guys, fresh out of university, they started building this company and they focused on building this company for 4 years. And in 2020, they were acquired for $200 million. And it was intentional. They were building the business to sell it. So we're now starting to see a lot of businesses that are coming up where the founders intentionally build the business so that they can sell it. And that's because they don't want to build a business for the long term. They are not interested in that. They are also not interested in building a business just for cash flow. They want to build a business as an asset. They want to build an asset that they can sell later. So this may not be your fancy, but for several people, it makes a lot of sense. Why do I have to work hard in a business for 20 years, 30 years, and just live off the business when I can build a business for 5 years or 10 years? And then sell it for a lot of money and retire early. You see? So when you trace where all of this is coming from, so I think the earliest I can remember is PayPal. So PayPal is also a financial services company. I don't know if you've heard of the PayPal Mafia, but the PayPal Mafia refers to some of the major members, some of the entrepreneurs who built Paystack, who built a PayPal into a major company. I think PayPal was acquired by eBay for $1.5 billion. So PayPal is an American company, but I'm going somewhere with this story. And then what happened was that PayPal had the CEO was Elon Musk. You know Elon Musk? Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX. So Elon Musk was at PayPal. The founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, was also at PayPal and all of that. So what we found was those entrepreneurs who were in PayPal, when they sold PayPal, many of them made a lot of money. They left with more than $100 million, several of them. What they did was they used that money to start to found other companies. So Elon Musk used the money he made after PayPal was sold to start SpaceX. Some of it was used in Tesla. And then he also used that money to start SolarCity. So you see what's happening. These entrepreneurs, they exit a business and then they use part of that money to start other businesses. For some people, this is what makes sense. Why would I spend 20 years of my life building just one business when I can build a business for 5 years, sell it, make a lot of money, and then start other businesses? So that's what a venture business is. That's the kind of business that a venture business is. A venture business is a business you build for value and then sell it off. So if you're building a venture business, it makes sense that you want to build this business as fast as possible. So for venture businesses, they love equity funding. They don't mind that you invest $1 million for 20% of the company. They don't mind you invest $40 million for 60% of the company. So somebody who's building a venture business doesn't mind owning 5% of their company. They don't mind because they would rather own 5% of a $100 million company than own 100% of a $1 million company. So you understand the thing there. If you build your company alone, if you want to hold 100% equity, it might be slower for you to build that business because you're not taking equity funding. You have to focus on taking debt and other kinds of funding, using your internal funding and all that. But if you're going to raise equity, what it means is that you can accept money from people who want to invest in your business as shareholders. And then what it means is that your equity stake is going to reduce. You can't own 100%. You, at the time, you will own 40%. At the time, it will drop to 20%. At the time, it will drop to 5%. Sometimes it might drop as low as 2%. But the logic here is you would rather own 2% of a $100 million company than own 100% of a $100,000 company, for example, or a $1 million company. So that's exactly what it is. A venture builder is looking for collaborators, and they're not just taking equity. They're looking for partners, people that can introduce them to suppliers, customers, people that can help them build the business as fast as possible. That's exactly what an equity build. That's exactly what a venture builder does. And if you don't know what you're building, you see, it will be difficult for you to make those concentrated efforts, to make those strategic decisions that can get you to where you want to be. So it's very important you understand, is this a business I want to sell at some time in the future? If you've made up your mind that you're going to sell this business, then you need to maximize the value of that business by growing it as quickly as possible. Because the person who is going to buy the business will be looking for areas of value, factors of value. For example, how much revenues do you have? How much profit are you making? How much customers do you have? What kind of intellectual property have you built into this business? So these are the important things that would grow the value of the company and make it valuable in the eyes of the person who would eventually buy it. So that's exactly the summary of how a Nigerian company that's 4 years old was sold for $200 million. And all of a sudden, the young entrepreneurs behind this business are millionaires, multi-millionaires. So I don't know exactly how much of the company, what their percentage equity holding was in the company when they sold the company. But even if they own just 5% of the company, you know, you are just in your 20s, even if you own 5% of a $200 million company that was sold. So it's very important you understand what you're building. If not, you're going to see opportunities and you will not recognize that they are opportunities because you don't know what you're building. The fourth kind of business I want to talk about are philosophical businesses. Now, philosophical businesses are those businesses you see where there is a strong passion behind the business. There is a mission that is larger than life that this business wants to achieve. A person who's running a philosophical business is unlikely going to sell their company because there's a strong relevance that business has in their lives. This is a business that has a mission to, sometimes you want to change something important in the world. One example, for example, is Facebook. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg would sell Facebook in his lifetime. The same thing that happened with Microsoft, you know. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is ever going to want to sell Facebook in his lifetime, because when you look at what Facebook is trying to do, Facebook has bought Instagram, it bought WhatsApp. Facebook wants to dominate how we communicate with one another in the world. His mission, he wants to change how humans communicate, especially over the internet. So what it means is that he doesn't mind spending, how much did he spend on WhatsApp? I think it was $16 billion or something like that. One outrageous amount. That's he's willing to buy up other companies to make sure that Facebook is the dominant player in the way the world communicates. Another example is Elon Musk with SpaceX. So Elon Musk was never working at NASA. He's not a space scientist or an astronaut or an aerospace engineer. Elon Musk started from IT, you know? So, and then he used to run PayPal. Right now, he runs a space company. His company builds rockets. And that's because Elon Musk said something very interesting. He said, why are we all humans on Earth? Right now, we are burdened with the threats of climate change and other events, catastrophic events that could wipe out humanity. So why is all of humanity just on Earth? Why don't we take some people and put them on Mars, which is a closer planet, planet to Earth, so that if anything happens to human beings on Earth, at least we still have humans on Mars. When he said this, a lot of people laughed him off. You don't have the experience, you don't have the skill. And what he did was he used most of the money he got from the sale of his first company, and he invested it in building a space company, SpaceX. Today, SpaceX is one of the most successful companies when it comes to making advances in space travel. It has also become a major contractor for NASA, you know. So rather than NASA take their own rockets, because of course the space program was dissolved during the Obama era, SpaceX now provides the rockets that American astronauts, you know, hitch for a ride to go to the International Space Station. This is somebody who wants to change the world. He's not doing this business for money, you know. He's doing it because it's the essence of why he lives. It's a vehicle for realizing his dreams. So it's a philosophical business. It's a business that wants to change the world. So I can imagine that there are some kinds of organizations like nonprofits. If you run a nonprofit, maybe you're trying to solve something serious, like you want to end global hunger. You want to fight poverty. You want to reduce pollution of the environment. You want to take care of street children. You want to fight malnutrition in children. These are very strong causes that I can imagine you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because you want to change something in the world. It's a philosophical kind of business. So what it means is that you don't mind taking money from a broad range of sources. You can take money from an equity investor. You can take on debt. But it's not just the money that matters to you. You want to take money from people who believe what you believe. You want to take money from people who are aligned with the vision of what you're trying to achieve. You want to take money from people who don't just see this thing as a matter of just money. They don't just see your venture or your business as a matter of making money. They buy into your vision. They believe in what you're trying to do, what you're trying to change in the world. So, like I said, it's not just about the money. If you're building a philosophical business and you take money from people who only care about the money, they are going to frustrate you. Because when you're taking time to solve the problem you're passionate about, those guys are just focused on maximizing the investment, or they're just focused on how much money they can make, or they're just focused on profit. They're not focused on the mission. So a philosophical business is a mission-driven business. So anybody you bring on board, it doesn't matter if they are co-founders, they are employees, investors, you're not just looking for investors that can give you money. Because for you, it's not just about the money. You want people who believe in the mission you're trying to achieve. You want people who would give you things that are not just money. They can give you connections. They can give you advice. They can help you further the mission you're trying to achieve. So it's very important you understand what you're trying to build. Are you building a philosophical business? I've given you a couple of examples. People who build philosophical businesses are very passionate about what they are trying to change in the world. Maybe they're trying to solve a major problem. They are trying to avert a major crisis. They are trying to drive major improvements in the world. They are trying to bring about disruption in a conventional or traditional industry. So for them, it's not just about the money. It's about the mission. And like I said, you need to make sure that anybody who is on board with you buys into that mission. If not, you're going to be in trouble. Because philosophical businesses are not just about the money. They are beyond the money. They are about a mission, a strong mission that requires passion to achieve. So at this point in the episode, let's recap. So far, I've talked to you about the four main types of businesses. I talked about the lifestyle businesses. These are businesses that you build for cash flow. so that it just supports your income earning ability. The second type is a legacy business. It's a business you want to pass on to the next generation. It's a business that you want another person to inherit. It could be your kids, could be your brother, somebody, or a member of your family. The third is a venture business. A venture business is a business that is built as an asset because you intend to sell that business. So what it means is that you're going to maximize the growth of that company. You're going to maximize the value so that the person who is going to buy it will find it valuable enough to pay top dollar for that business. And then the fourth kind of business is a philosophical business. It's a mission-driven business. It's a business where you care more about the mission than about the money. So the mission trumps the money. And what that means is that if you're going to raise money from people, if you're going to work with other people, they have to be people who understand that for you, it's about the mission, that the mission is much more important than the money. So at this point in the episode, we're introducing something new on the Small Starter Business Podcast. We now have a feature partner, Maxwell Adieu of Quezza. And this is the very first time we're going to be hearing about this on the podcast. And I need to pay very close attention because in future podcasts, we're going to be learning more about this amazing business. It's a business that is transforming how small businesses, mid-sized businesses on the African continent do business with the outside world. As you can imagine, in case you don't know, African businesses can benefit a whole lot more if we can access other markets. One of the biggest challenges that African businesses have is that they are not able to access outside markets. And imagine what that would do for you. If you can export your products or your services to markets outside Africa, especially to Canada, the US and Europe, and even the Middle East, what that means is that you can earn a certain income with some of your sales in foreign currency. It gives you access to other markets, and these markets are able to, and they are willing to pay a premium for African products, whether it's African honey, African shea butter, and a whole lot of it. So this is really exciting stuff because what this guy is building is very likely going to be one of those philosophical businesses that ends up changing the African continent commerce-wise. So I can't read his mind. I don't know if he's building a venture business or a philosophical business, but I'm just going to allow you to listen to him. This is the intro. In future episodes, I'm going to be asking him a lot of interesting questions. We're going to learn more about the impact that this business is making on the African continent, how it's helping small and mid-sized businesses find interesting markets outside of the African continent. So Maxwell, it's over to you.
Hello, everyone, listeners of the Small Starter Business Podcast. My name is Maxwell Adieu. I'm the co-founder of Quezza, a digital app that enables simple trade solution within Africa and globally. We exist to create a proven access to market for medium, micro, and small businesses in Africa, for them to be able to trade and build their value chain. Several years ago, I was doing my postgraduate in Philadelphia, and I love to eat African food. So I had to travel like 2 hours on the train to buy an African food. So when I googled African food in Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia, I found one. When I got inside, I was shocked. It was owned and run by a Chinese woman. And out of curiosity, I asked her, where do you get your product from? And she said, oh, we used to travel down to Africa, different African countries. We saw the product ourselves. We put it in a container and we ship it down. And I asked her, how much do you buy in a month or in a year? She said, oh, we buy a lot, sometimes up to like 20 containers in a year. And I started to think, all those years I was thinking, wow, so there is a demand for this food. So this Chinese woman has to go to Africa to buy the food. Why not, if this Chinese woman doesn't need to go to Africa and buy the food? Why not if thousands of African businesses can sell globally? Why can we create a proven access to market for those businesses to thrive? And this is why I'm so passionate about Quezza, that we need to do something. And the time is now to make that change and bring about a solution.
So yes, you heard it from the man himself. This is an interesting business. This is an interesting way to facilitate other businesses. So you can imagine that African products are sold in faraway US by a Chinese person, right? Where do they source all those goods from? So there's a demand for for African products. And it will be interesting in upcoming episodes to learn more about the great work that Kweza is doing, how it's empowering and helping African entrepreneurs who are interested in the export business to access interesting markets outside of the African continent. So at this point in the episode, there are four things I need you to consider. The first is to join the Insiders program. So I don't know what kind of business you're trying to, build. Maybe it's a lifestyle business. Maybe it's a legacy business. Maybe it's a venture business. Maybe it's a philosophical business. Depending on the kind of business you're trying to build, I can guide you. You know, whether it's about a sales problem or you're trying to raise money or you're trying to build systems in your business so that the business does not always depend on you. Or maybe it's about people, your human resources, your human talent. The kind of business you're trying to build will determine the kind of choices and the kind of decisions you're going to make. And when you belong to a community of entrepreneurs who are building different kinds of businesses, there's a lot you can learn in terms of strategy, insights from the experience, from the networking opportunities. You never really know, because most times running a business or building a business can be a solo experience. And it doesn't have to be that way. That's why the Insiders community provides you access to other entrepreneurs, ambitious entrepreneurs in more than 20 different countries who are building interesting and exciting businesses. And if you want to learn more about the Insiders program and learn how we can work closely together, check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I need you to consider is, if you've been listening to this episode, you like what you hear, tell somebody about this episode. Tell your friends, tell your smart friends, of course, people who are interested in starting a business, growing a business, or who are interested in learning how to run a business much more successfully. This podcast episode is really going to help them. And the third thing is, if you want to give us a pat on the back, you want to say thank you, a very good way you can do that is to give us a 5-star review. If you've been listening to this podcast, you like it, you want to say thank you, you can head over to smallstarter.com/review. Smallstarter.com/review to leave us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. And again, of course, the fourth thing is, remember to join the Insiders program. That is the place where you can get the most value from many of these things that I teach. So on the podcast, I'm trying to serve a broad audience, right? But as a member of the Insiders, you can ask your own specific questions. You can get direct advice. You can lean on the experience of other people who are building different businesses in different industries. And I look forward to the next episode, because with every episode, I see that I'm enriching somebody's life. You know, I may never see your face. We may never interact. But the good thing, as you can imagine, as you can already tell, Small Starter Africa is a philosophical business. And what we're trying to do is, we're trying to use entrepreneurship. We're trying to boost the entrepreneurship potential of people on the continent, because I firmly believe that entrepreneurship gives us a unique opportunity to transform the African continent. Entrepreneurs are leaders. Entrepreneurs are risk takers. Entrepreneurs know how to build wealth. Entrepreneurs know how to build teams. Entrepreneurs know how to influence and bring out the best of people. And those are the kinds of people we need. If we want to solve the unemployment problem, if we want to solve the poverty problem on the African continent, if we want to solve the inequality problem, I just see entrepreneurs as the only people who can check these boxes. Unfortunately, entrepreneurship skills are not taken seriously by our formal academic institutions. We see many people graduate from school. All they have is a certificate, but they cannot put the skills and the knowledge they have to build something of value and create a product or a service that they can sell and make money from. Everybody's waiting for a job. But where will those jobs come from? Everybody thinks the government is a job creator. But the governments are lousy job creators. They can't build value the way an entrepreneur can build value. Entrepreneurs are very innovative people. We know how to use scarce resources. So the more entrepreneurs we have, the higher the likelihood that we can totally transform the African continent. This is what I believe. This is exactly what the rest of my life is focused on. So it for me, it's about that philosophy. And I'm going to keep doing this until I am no more. So clearly, you now see what it's about. So in the end, I need you to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Because if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to end up in the wrong hands. You're going to end up in the wrong company. And at the end of the day, you're going to regret. So this is an important, it's a small decision, but it's a very important decision. What kind of business are you building? For example, if you're building a legacy business, what it means is that you need to start introducing your kids to your business early on, from a very young age. I met a man recently, he's close to retirement, and that's his biggest regret. His kids are not interested in his business. And why should they be interested in his business? You know, these kids have already chosen their own path. Maybe they want to be musicians, they want to be programmers, they want to be actors, you know? They've already chosen their path. So what it means is that you're coming very late. And at that point, they're not interested in your business, you see? And you can't use blackmail on them. So if you want to build a legacy business, you need to start involving the next generation very early on. From as low as from an age as low as 5 or even 10, they need to understand where daddy makes money. They need to understand how mommy pays our school fees. Yeah, they need to understand that the business is the primary source of sustenance for the family. You need to start getting them interested. Start giving them tasks. You know, even if they're just using the printer or cleaning the office or doing something, you get them involved early on. That's what's called succession planning. And succession planning needs to start very early on. So these are just some of the nuances that you need to care about depending on the kind of business you're building. Somebody who is building a venture business doesn't really need to bother much about succession because they're going to sell the business. So I hope you get the gist, and I get very passionate about this thing. So that's why, and I don't want this episode to run. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and I look forward to the very next episode. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.